Would you join me in prayer this morning? Lord, we bring ourselves before you. Lord, knowing that you are with us, knowing that even in this moment, as your word says, we approach your throne. We're approaching you. We want to be with you. We want to hear from you. We want to worship you and give you glory where it's due. Lord, while we are weak and really unable to save ourselves, Lord, you rescue us by your grace. You look at us and you love us like children. And so, Father, we want to thank you this morning for that. Lord, and I pray for every heart in this place that it would be open to the work of your Spirit this morning. God, that our spiritual ears would be open to hear what you're working on and to see what you're doing and what you're challenging us to do, what you want us to know and what you want us to do. Help us hear, see, understand what you're speaking, that we might take steps further in the journey that you have for us while you are right there with us in that process. Lord, I pray that your comfort and your peace, but also your provoking and your challenging and your encouragement would be with us today as we worship you and we comb through your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give the worship team another hand this morning? You did a great job leading us. I so appreciate people willing to use their talents to serve the body of Christ, to help us worship, to help us be community together. I appreciate you guys so much. How are you this morning? Are you with me? You ready to go through God's word together today? All right. Are you sure? Yeah. Well, before we dive into that, I just want to welcome you if you're a guest. If you're visiting church for the first time or you're really, really new to Mount Helena, I just want to welcome you. My name is J.R. Quigley. I'm the senior leader here at Mount Helena, and I'll be sharing the word with all of us here in a minute. But I just want to welcome you. You know, we really believe that the kingdom of God is done in the context of community. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom. It's about community. It's about gifting that God has given each one for the benefit of everybody else. It's all about us together walking with God. I said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That collection of people that God has rescued, he will build. And so we want to encourage you, if you want to build with us and be a part of what we're doing, we would love to get to know you. There's a lot of ways to do that, but just a couple things for you this morning. We have a Connect card out there at our giving station, or some of our First Impressions team will have one. If you want to get one of those from them, and just let us know maybe your phone number or email. Our community life pastor, Jason Harris, will get a hold of you this week and just see if we can help you connect any further. Or maybe if you have questions about who we are as a church and those kind of things, we'd love to connect with you. We have a welcome packet for you out there at the Welcome Center. It's right out here in the lobby, you'll notice, says welcome above in great big letters. And you could grab one of those there too if you wanted to know more about who we are as a church. I've got a few announcements for us this morning. I want to mention and remind you that the men's breakfast is coming up here at the end of the month, Saturday, May 31st at 8 a.m. So do you like breakfast? Well, I'll see you there then, okay? It's men's breakfast, 8 a.m. On May 31st, great opportunity to connect and grow together. I also want to let you know about our Regions Beyond Youth Camp is coming up. There's a QR code in the corner for registration. There will be other opportunities for you to get that information, but it is right there. It's coming up July 28th through the 31st. You know, most of our kids who have been around, they know what that's all about. Now, we have some changes this year. Kind of at the last minute, we normally do the camp at Thompson Lakes in northwest Montana, but the camp got shut down due to some regulation issues. And so sadly, we are unable to do camp there in the same way that we've done it in the past. We kind of had to make some emergency decisions along with our friends in Missoula that are a part of it and Stevensville. They did a lot of hard work and research, and about the only availability was, some of you will know, Silver Mountain in Kellogg, Idaho. There's a water park there. There's a gondola thing. They've got meeting rooms. They got space for campers, and so they've been working on the details of that. So it's going to be different. Our junior high and high school will merge back together this year for a shorter camp season. So we're a little bummed about that, but we're really trusting God in all of it and that he's provided for us. And and that the kids will have an amazing experience together. The cost has increased due to that. So what we're going to do as a church and what we as elders have decided we're going to do is we're going to have a scholarship fund. So if you are not going to camp or not sending anyone to camp, but you want to help kids get to camp, help lower their registration costs, you can give towards that scholarship fund. And so we know that, you know, it's a great price really compared to most camps still, but we know that we were in a pattern in recent years and it's jumped quite a bit. So we want to do everything we can on such short notice to help you go to camp this year. So you're going to need to let us know if you're going to need some help that way. But also I want to encourage all of you to give towards that scholarship fund if you're so inclined. So really looking forward to that. You're going to want to get registered soon because it's limited. And there's your QR code. There'll be more information on our website and on Sundays in the days ahead. So there you go. I have one other thing. Oh, yes. In a couple of weeks, I'll be sharing a couple messages this week and next week on maturity and maturing in Christ and growing. But we're going to kick off the summer as we have the last few summers by going through a book of the Bible straight through. Only we're going to be going through about half of a book. We're going to go through 12 chapters of the Gospel of John. So we're going to begin doing that the 1st of June right through August. And then when fall rolls around, we'll have small groups kicking off, and we may have some curriculum type that we'll be going through in the fall. But for this summer, we're going to be going through the Gospel of John. Just want to give you a heads up about that. We will have a little reading plan for you that will be available for you to kind of follow along. So you can read the scripture during the week, and we can have a message about it on the weekend. I mean, if you're really lucky, I'm going to hand out gold stars to people that actually do the reading during the week. You think gold stars only work for kids? I bet I could get some of you to do it. How about what? A coffee card. My wife's really pushing me to the limit now. But I bet I could get everybody in this room almost, other than you non-coffee people, to do it. But I just want to let you know that's our plan. I know we've gone through books in previous summers, and that's what we're going to do this summer. So really looking forward to doing that with you. I've had a passages of scripture that God's continuing to bring me to, and I wasn't sure if it was, you know, something that I was going to preach about or if it was appropriate, but I really, this week, it really started to hit me and come to the surface, and so I wanted to share over the next couple weeks with you and challenge us and just think through some of these things that God's taught us, and it's coming out of the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. It's very fascinating. It's got a lot of good information. In fact, if you have your Bible this morning and you want to follow along with me, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start there. I will have the passages up here for you, though, as well. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through this section of Scripture, and then we're going to walk back through it and just talk about it a little bit. It's a little unnerving or unsettling. It kind of pokes at you a little bit, as the Bible sometimes does, and that's good. Makes us think about the reality of things and where we're at. Can I get my message up there? Thank you, sir. So I'm going to begin in chapter 5, verse 11. I want to give you a little context, too, before I start reading this to you. The book of Hebrews, we actually don't know who wrote it. There's a lot of speculation about who did. My favorite theory is Apollos. This is a book to the Jews. These are people who were Jewish in their tradition. They grew up as Jews. Jesus comes as the Messiah to the Jewish people, but obviously they rejected him. But there were many that also accepted him. But it was very difficult to make the transition from the Jewish faith and Jewish tradition into this Christianity. Jesus had come and fulfilled their law, but they had spent 1,500 years, I think, living a certain way and following or not following certain laws. This was a major part of their culture, and Jesus came and fulfilled it, and now their faith has changed. If they're really going to accept this Christ, they've got to move beyond these laws and these rituals and these regulations that God had them following in the first place. Major transition happened. And I think we have to kind of put ourselves in their shoes and realize who they were and what they were struggling with. It would be, if you just think about this for a second. If we could empathize, this is kind of silly, but go with me. Can you go with me? Yeah. I mean, imagine Jesus comes back in our time. And imagine it doesn't really happen the way we thought it would. Because we're all pretty sure we know how it's going to happen. People seem pretty convinced. But the Jews, they didn't recognize it when it happened. What if we didn't recognize it when it happened? And Jesus returns and he says, hey guys, we're going to start doing things differently. I'm back and now we're moving into another covenant, a new way of life. That would be hard. We'd be like, but wait, Jesus, we did church like this for all these years. Now you want us to do it like that? Everybody knows you don't do it like that. We always have four songs of worship and a 30-minute message. Don't mess with it, Jesus. Are you sure you're right, Jesus? Can you put yourself in those shoes a little bit? It's hard. We don't like change. Plus, we're afraid we might be wrong. What if we're wrong about what we did? What if we didn't quite get it right like we should? And this is what these Jews are wrestling with. We're like, we've always done it this way. This was the right way. And now you're telling us it's changed. Boy, that's got to be hard to let go of. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. He's explaining to them how Jesus is the fulfillment of all the things they had learned as Jews. So, just to give you a little background here. He begins by saying this. I mean, here's another way to put yourself in their shoes. What if I wrote you this letter this week? And I said, gosh, Cassie, I have a lot to say, but you've become dull of hearing. How would that feel? Oh, ouch. In our modern kind of context, we don't like that kind of talk. It's negative. But God can challenge us and correct us, and we need to embrace it. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. Better turn on my clicker. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have had their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Whoever wrote Hebrews, they weren't pulling their punches. Can you imagine if someone came and said, you ought to be a teacher by now. You're kind of dull of hearing. Oh, man, who are you? We wouldn't like that, but today I want to, I can't help. If this is God's word and he's saying these things to me, then I have to ask myself some challenging questions. Have I become dull of hearing? Have I had this tendency towards not listening or not even wanting to understand? That's what it means. The NIV, I think, puts it a little bit better, or a better way of understanding it. Dull of hearing means I'm not listening with any intent of ever understanding. I don't need to learn anymore. I don't need to know anymore. There's nothing you can say today, JR, that I haven't heard before. Have we become dull of hearing? We have to watch out for that, that we reach a point of being unwilling to understand anymore. Here's the tough statement I want to make first. God expects us to become mature. Is that okay? Is anybody mad at me right now? I don't care. It's okay. You'll get over it. God, actually, his whole design in creation is that things would be born and that they would become mature. How many of you have planted gardens this year? Now, is it starting to sprout out of the ground now? You got some things growing? Anybody got corn? Is it even out of the ground yet? No. Oh. Well, let's just pretend your ear of corn gets about this high and says, that's good enough. I'm mature enough. I don't need to be more mature. I look pretty good, nice and green with my leaves. I'm good. But that's not God's design. His design is that things become mature to the extent that they actually produce fruit. God expects maturity, and he expects out of our maturity, there's a fruitfulness. Now, we don't like that word expects. I actually thought about not saying that just to try and be nice, but it's a fact. God expects us to become mature. Now, we have to be careful about how we manage what that does in our minds, but it's like children. I mean, I've got kids now that are getting into the early college years. You know, I got one child that's out of the house with our granddaughter, and she's moved on. But I've got Gracie graduates this next Sunday. Joelle's been out a couple of years, and we're in those transitional years. Now, about 10 years from now, if Joelle's still living with in my basement, I'm going to have some questions. I mean, if something serious happened, of course. But you understand what I'm saying. There's a reason kids move out when they get a certain age. It's time for them to fly. It's time for them to be on their own. Hopefully we've raised them in such a way that they know how to wield their freedom when they leave. It's that, you know, when they're little, you give them real strict laws. And then as they grow older, you teach them how to manage their freedom, how to manage their space. If you just hold them in legalism until they leave the house, it's not going to go very well for you. We need to teach them how to be free and how to manage that freedom. Anyway, that's another story. But there is this idea that in the nature of things, they grow. And when they're little, you give them milk. You give them milk. When my two girls were little, Janny worked night shift up at St. Pete's. Guess who had to get up in the night and feed the babies? No, I didn't nurse them. I had to get up in the night and feed the baby. Come on, all the guys go, aw. Bob did it too. See, good job, Bob. Well, here's the thing. When they cry in the night and they're helpless, and I have to step in and feed them, they're not going to stop crying. If Johnny comes into my room tonight and goes, Dad, I'm hungry. I need you to feed me. I'm going to be, bro, not happening. There's leftovers in the fridge, enough for an army. Go feed yourself. What is kind of this journey of maturity? It's this milk concept. It's a child concept. It's a baby plant concept. And then looking at your own life through that lens and knowing that I need to mature. I've got to follow this process that God has for me to the point of bearing fruit. And so can I just pause for a moment and put this in my own individual context, each one of us, and go, where am I at in my maturity process? Now, there might be lots of different angles to it. I understand it's not quite so black and white, but it is very helpful for us to do this. Do you recognize this guy? For those of you on video that can't see it, or maybe they're showing it, this guy is Peter Pan. Guess what Peter Pan wanted? To never grow up. Be a little boy forever. Never, never land. Do we do that? Do we do that as Christians? I just kind of like my childlike playground in Christianity. I just want to stay here forever, to be a little boy and never grow up. I don't want to have to think about the serious things. I just want to pray the prayer and maybe go to church twice a year and get on with my life. But God hasn't called you to that. That's not his intention for your life. We had a man that was a part of our church years ago, Corey Swanson's dad. Corey was an elder here as well, but his dad, John Swanson. John was a lieutenant colonel or colonel. He was high up in the National Guard, and he would preach. And I remember one Sunday he stood up there. We were down in the Great Northern, and he just yelled this. He's like, it's grow-up time! You know, and he's a military guy. And he's not a big guy. He's a real small guy. But man, he had a loud voice. He's like, it's grow-up time in the kingdom! And he crackled the microphone. He yelled it so loud. The reason I know is I was the sound guy. I'm like, don't do that, John. Don't yell. It's grow-up time. But I want to just pause here for a second and talk about some cautions here. When we hear that phrase, grow up, at times, at least in my life, that had a negative connotation. So let's think about growing up in a whole holistic, godly kind of way, not necessarily in the way you understand what it meant to grow up. You know, the girl in the class ahead of you is, oh, grow up, JR, you're so immature. Like, that's hurtful. You know, or maybe you had people in your life that were so hard on you, I wish you'd just grow up. Well, you are actually supposed to be a child for a while. That's also part of your journey. It's okay to begin somewhere and take a journey as a child and just have the milk for a while. That's right. Now, if I'd have got the babies up in the middle of the night and tried feeding them leftover steak, how's my wife going to feel about that? It's just not going to work. It isn't going to work. The baby can't eat the steak, but the adult can't live off the milk. But I just want you to take a little check in your brain when I say grow up. I'm not saying that in a condescending way. I'm not saying it in an abusive or guilt-inducing way. It's just simply to take a moment and go, what's the next step I need to take in growing up and becoming mature in my Christianity and not remaining immature? Because the scripture has a lot to say about it. I also want to caution us on this. This is not about being a self-made man. Now, ladies will understand this too, but we use that phrase like sometimes we have this pressure, and I know it particularly as men, but I know we all have it, is like you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get it done. That's what it means to be grown up, independent, self-reliant. I can do it myself. Some of us as little kids were like that. Some of my kids were like that. I do it. Here, let me help you get dressed. I do it. Here, let me feed you. I do it. You know, but that can carry over into our faith life as well. Are you sitting there thinking, I can do it by myself? It's only about me and my relationship with God. It has nothing to do with anybody else. I just talked during announcements there about the need for community and God building us together. Did I make a slide out of this? I can't remember. I don't think I did. Well, I'm going to read it to you. We are called to do the Christian life in the context of community. It is not separate from that. It's not an independent journey. To experience Christianity only as an individual and not within community is to miss a massive portion of its intent. Think about a cornfield. When was the last time you walked through a cornfield and it had one plant of corn? That doesn't make sense. They need each other in all kinds of ways, and you're no different. Christianity is done in the context of community. Much, if not most, of our maturing comes in doing life with others. It's doing something together. It's the, you know, why, you know, it says that he gave gifts for the mutual benefit of the body of Christ. Not that you could, you know, if God gave you a gift, I mean, what if God gave me a gift of teaching and then I never shared it with anybody? I just like to look in the mirror and talk to myself, which I do. But what if I never shared that with anybody? I just kept that all to myself. What if I never took the advice or input of anybody else? Be nice and safe, but it wouldn't be very fruitful. God's called us to community. Part of our maturing process is in community. Oswald Chambers punched us in the face this week. That's a figure of speech. He wrote the book, My Utmost for His Highest, which is a daily devotional. I hadn't read it yet that day, but Bob Wamsley sent this to me. He has the a little bit older version of it. But man, this stung. But it's true. You did not do anything to achieve your salvation. I agree. But you must do something to exhibit it. You must work out your salvation, which God has worked in you already. Are your speech, your thinking, and your emotions evidence that you are working it out? If you are still the same miserable, grouchy person, set on having your own way, then it's a lie to say that God has saved and sanctified you. Ooh. Okay, everybody just take a breath. But you hear the truth in there. Not really saved if I haven't really surrendered. Not just about praying a prayer. Or going to church on a certain day. This is about embarking on a journey with the Savior of all the universe. And he begins a process with us when we surrender to him called sanctification. And he draws us into relationship with himself. He doesn't expect us to do it like a militant boot camp. He gets right next to us and locks step with us and takes each step of the way with us. And sometimes he even carries us. Okay, so it's a compassionate call. It's a compassionate thing. But the Bible is clear. Don't fool ourselves. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's be real about who we are and who he is and where we are in that journey. Are you uncomfortable? I am. And I have been as I've ruminated on this with God this week. It's challenging. Here's another thing. God expects us to participate in leading others towards maturity. God expects us to participate in leading others towards maturity. For by now you ought to be teachers. And what do teachers do? They teach. Investing in other people, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. There's this idea that what God has given you and what you're growing in is leading you towards impact in other people's lives. It isn't an independent journey. Paul said this in Colossians, him, talking about Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Okay, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we presenting this gospel? Why are we teaching these things? Why are we trying to be wise about it? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. What does it mean to present? To show, hey, to be able, it's kind of silly to even think about it this way, but it's like, hey, God, look what we worked together on this, and look at, Gavin is mature now. We all work together, and we were able to be a part. We want to present him to you as mature in his relationship with you. Thank you for that testimony and that journey. Paul's heart was to work with people to the point that he could present them to God as mature. It rings in my ears, Jesus' ascension into heaven, when he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Paul is living this out in the most specific reality. He wants to present all of us as mature. He's not going to be content with the fact that we stay immature, but that we become mature. Paul didn't only expect people to become mature, he wanted to be a part of their process. We should want to be a part of one another's process of setting our sights on maturity. Because what comes with maturity? Fruitfulness. When that crop becomes mature, it becomes fruitful. When humans become mature and they produce children, it's all part of God's design. That we may present people as mature in Christ, that we make disciples. I want to look at another passage that probably is familiar. Oh, there's that. There it is. Few slides later, I got it in the wrong spot. But it holds to the point that I've been making. To experience Christianity only as an individual and not within community is to miss a massive portion of its intent. Christianity is done in the context of community. We should always be wrestling with that idea. What does it really mean in a biblical way to be a part of community? I'm a part of the community of Helena. You know, I get that. But what does it mean to be a part of a body of Christ community? What does the scripture teach us about that? There's a lot to unpack there. This passage, most of us will probably recall it in some way, shape, or form, but Jesus has just told a parable of the seeds. Seeds are being sown. Seeds of the gospel are going out into the world and landing in people's hearts and minds and lives. But it doesn't always turn out good. And he talks about falling on the path and falling in the rocks and falling in the thorns, but some of them fall in the fertile soil and they grow. But this caught my attention this week. Maybe we should talk about this a little bit. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Now, a lot of times when we talk about the seed sower, we talk about a very black and white, saved or unsaved, they are going to heaven or they're going to hell. But actually, it doesn't seem to read that way to me. There are different people that accept it, but they don't come to maturity. Satan steals the seed off the path, remember. In this particular case, these are people who have accepted it. They're trying to grow. There's some sort of natural tendency towards maturity, but what's going on in their lives chokes it out. You feel choked sometimes? I've definitely been choked by the cares, the struggle of the circumstances of your life, the things you've gone through, the difficult things. They choke us. They lie to us and tell us whatever our enemy wants us to hear. You're never going to grow up. You're always going to be a mess. God doesn't have good things for you. God doesn't care about your maturity. Why? Because we're experiencing difficult things. Or the riches and the pleasures of life. Me, 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 me. Indulge me. Make me happy. Do what it takes to satisfy this. And we get so caught up with that, we fall off the path. And we get choked out and we don't produce fruit. We don't become mature. Thank God for his grace and mercy that no matter what your circumstances are, he's with you. And at any moment, you can turn to him and invite him to be a part of your journey, to grow you further, to lead you towards fruitfulness. Again, I just want to pause and say, this could be hard to evaluate, and you could be hard on yourself about it. And that's not what I want you to do. What I want you to do is just look and ask God and go, what's the next step you want me to take to become mature? What's the next thing you want me to know and the next thing you want me to do? Be submitted to him. He's the best farmer out there. He's the best gardener out there. We learned a few weeks ago from John chapter 12, when Stu was up here, and hopefully you were reading some of that. Maybe we'll talk about this more. He prunes things. I don't know about you. Sometimes it does feel like he lopped my left arm off. It's painful. Hurts. But he prunes so that more fruit can come. I have a whole hedgerow of caragana, Siberian pea shrubs, whatever you want to call them. And this year I decided I'm going to clean them up. So I go through and what do? I just cut them down to a nice even height and I cut all the dead stuff out because it's not producing anything. Why do I do that? Well, now here it is, all this rain and they're really starting to come in and it looks beautiful. You will look beautiful when God prunes you. It might look, sometimes it's a little sketchy. You know, my wife walks out and sees me out there with the hedge thing. You're going to ruin it. She didn't say that. I remember one time my neighbor did that. He went out and he cut his lilac down to about this big and his wife was freaking out. The next year, huge, flat, beautiful, beautiful lilac. It's a wonderful illustration that the scripture gives us about you. Do you feel like God's like hacking parts off of you right now? Or have you had a period of time that you felt like he's just getting in there and doing painful surgery on something? Trust him with it. Let him be the gardener because his heart for you is fruitfulness. How many of you could use more fruitfulness in your life? Let him take you towards maturity. That's his intention for you. Do you see that in these words? His intention and heart for you and I is that we would become mature. Okay, so what I want to do for the rest of my time today and next week as well is kind of look at some of these things that he says, what does the scripture point to as being mature or signs of maturity? What are things we can look at and then, you know, we can look in the mirror of the scripture and go, what does that look like in my context? Again, not to be condemning, but so that God can reveal to us what steps we can take next. First thing I want to start with, going back into Hebrews, is when he says this statement, you become dull of hearing. So what would the opposite of that be? That's not a sign of maturity, being dull of hearing. So this whole idea of being dull of hearing, not wanting to listen, not wanting to understand. You become dull of hearing, you no longer try to understand. Well, what would be the opposite of that? I want to seek and understand. I want to listen. I want to pay attention. If I read something in God's word, I want to wrestle with it till I understand it. And believe me, there's some tough stuff to understand. We need his spirit. Or have I just closed my ears? Something that really gets under my skin in life is when you're dealing with a situation where someone is so confident in their opinion, they're never going to learn anything. No pointing fingers. I saw that. When we come to this point where, like, I'm right, period, all the time. I don't know about you, but I don't believe everything exactly the way I did when I was 20. I grew. I learned. Not that I was like, could I look back and say I was wrong? Well, yeah, in certain ways, yes. I don't think I had it right. And so by then, what logic when I'm 80, do I think I'm going to look back at when I was 47 and go, I had it right? Knock it off. We are children in God's eyes. He's probably up there going, that's cute. He thinks he's right. But it's okay. If we get too caught up in that game of being right without relating to God, that's a slippery slope to destruction. We're always learning. We're always growing. And so everything that we want to, but we have to push forward with what we know and what we've learned and what we think is true. That's right, and it's good because we're growing. We're learning. God's adding things to us. He's putting things together in such a way. Think of the season of the plant. Here I'm talking about corn again. Can't even grow the stuff here. I don't know why I'm talking about it. Here it's adding all these nutrients and all these things towards a culmination. And what it is here is not what it is here is not what it is here. And all kinds of things have to happen between here and there. It's okay that you're in process. That's okay. It's part of the journey. Have a little grace about it. Not too much. Don't excuse poor behavior and those kind of things. But have grace for others too. I can't expect everybody in the room to be exactly the same phase or thinking that I am. We're very different people with very different backgrounds. Some churched, some not churched. Some with some strong cultural ideals, some not. We got to learn how we're going to do this church thing together. Be gracious with one another. Be a part of one another's maturing process. Yes, God is right. He's true. He's just. And we're pointed towards him just like a plant growing towards the sun. We want to just keep our eye on him and keep moving that way. Okay. I want to seek to understand. Ought to be teachers. He makes this statement. You ought to be a teacher. By now you should be teaching others. Now this is really interesting. We know in the Bible that some people are gifted as teachers, but none of us is excused from teaching. We should all be able to give instruction. Just like we're going to look more at Ephesians 4 next week, but it says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And so we'll look at things. We like to put ourselves in boxes. I'm an introvert. It excuses me from having to talk to you. I'm an extrovert. You don't get to not talk to me. But we all know it's more gray than that. There's an ebb and flow, and there's nuance in things. Jesus is all of those things, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or shepherd. He's all of those things, and he's in all of us. And so there's a bit of that in every one of us, even if it's not our gift. We are all called to be able to give instruction. At some point, we should have enough understanding that I can at least have a conversation to teach somebody or encourage somebody or pastor somebody, even though it might not be my main thing. Ought to be teachers, being this idea that we are educating ourselves, we are learning and growing, but then also able to give that to others. So it's one thing to learn, but when you get to the point where you're able to help others learn, that's a sign of maturity. When you get to the point where you listen to understand and not just be right, that's a sign of maturity. How many of you know this? Come on, raise your hands high if you know what this is. You don't have to be embarrassed. I know it's cheesy. This is Rick Moranis. Actually, this is a pastor holding a plant with a mature Christian in it. Feed me, Seymour! You know, we have this desire to be fed, to be taught. I'm not going to, if you don't know what this is, forget it. Just forget it. Don't even think about it. But if you know, you know, okay? There's this idea that we want to always, always, always be fed. And it gets to this point where it's like, yeah, you need to go do some work. If you really want to become mature, you have to move beyond being fed to feeding. The upper echelon of maturity when it comes to being fed is to then look outward and serve. If you are serving, if you are giving of yourself, if you're no longer just being fed, but you're learning to feed in whatever little way, you're growing up. Good job. I'm proud of you. It's not just all about being fed. We live in a, here I am standing up here talking to a bunch of people, and sometimes we simplify this to a shepherd and sheep. He's feeding us, and if I'm not being fed, I'm out of here. But at some point, you better be able to feed yourself, just like my 15-year-old son who's not coming in my bedroom at night wanting me to feed him. Go feed yourself. Some of you feed me. I'm just a sheep too. This whole kind of criteria and evaluation, we got to think beyond that in maturity and go, actually, part of my maturing process is to go outside myself and serve others. All right, I'm going to wrap up quickly with these last two out of Hebrews. We'll look at a few passages next week through a little bit different lens. What does the author of Hebrews say? Skilled in the word. Everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word. Knowing the word, understanding what it means. We talk about how to read and interpret, you know, knowing the meaning of words, knowing the meaning of the words and sentences and context, understanding the overall teaching of Scripture. Those kind of things. We want to know those things, be skilled with them, so when we run across the Scripture or somebody brings a challenging question from the Scripture, we can answer. But how does that happen? You get skilled with the Word of God as a sign of maturity. Discerning of good and evil. Again, there's kind of a tendency, I think, in our society and way of thinking to just say there is no evil. We don't talk about it. We just talk about the good, and that'll change everything. But the Scripture calls us to discern it, to look at and be able to weigh. Again, not to give you a club to go beat people with, but this idea, but there's a lot of things that are deceptive in the world. And we need to be good, skilled at discerning good from evil in the way we navigate our lives and in the way we lead others. We lead our families, we lead coworkers, we lead ourselves. What's a sign of maturity? We're getting to a place of being, through exercise, constant practice of discernment, understanding good from evil. Because things that are good are of God, and things that aren't. And we don't want to be participating in the things that are not of God. We want to be doing things that draw us closer to Him. Have I bothered you? I've got one more I'll cover next week. Would you stand? I hope you hear my heart this morning that, man, I'm challenged. I'm challenged in my own heart about what it means to become mature so that I can become more fruitful. And when God's pruning things off of my life, how do I embrace that process? And I hope that you too will take some time to evaluate. Again, not in a condemning way. God's not the dad that beats you. He's the dad that comes aside and picks you up and walks with you. That's what He wants to do. That's where we need to go in our growth. And so I hope that you will take the time to ask Him. In fact, we're going to do it right now. Would you join me in prayer? If you are provoked in your spirit about just saying, I want to become more mature, would you just lift your hands to Him? Lifting your hands is a sign of surrender, something all throughout the Scripture. It's a sign of worship. Lord, I pray for all of us today. Lord, we thank You for the provocation of Your word and the truth of Your word. Lord, that you want your people to be fruitful. And it's such a joyous thing when they are. But we know that we go through the winter as well. It's not always spring. And God, I pray that you would be encouraging and strengthening, comforting, and bringing wisdom and insight to your children today who are seeking to grow in their relationship with you, to become more mature, to work towards fruitfulness. Lord, help us to understand these things. They're difficult things in ways. And our own experiences sometimes cloud our understanding. But Lord, I pray that your truth would prevail, that there would be right understanding and wisdom that comes with the contemplation of these things. Bless my friends today. Please honor their submission to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to receive prayer today, we have a prayer team over here to my left. Would love to pray with you about anything at all. Don't miss the opportunity to have them pray. Otherwise, we're going to continue talking about maturity next Sunday. I'll see you here next week.